Gee, what a dramatic weekend of football. Buzz, how are you?
Mate, I'm really, really good. One of the best weekends of footy I've seen for years. There were three sensational games. Storm Roosters, Panthers West Tigers, and the theatre at the end there at Knights Manly. You know, Penua Blake shouldn't have sworn at the referee. Jeez, it was a big, big blunder by the bunker. So they should have awarded Manly a penalty and given them a shot at goal at the end of the game there to go into Golden Point. And
how did they get it wrong, though, Buzz? That's what I want to know. How does he get it wrong, given at the start of the game when they sent Cherry Evans to the sin bin for holding back Lachlan Fitzgibbon? He grabbed him by the arm and, you know, yes, I can understand why, because they've cracked down on that type of thing in the past. But then to see that incident at the end, you just thought that it had to be a penalty.
Well, the on-field referee did everything right, and he wasn't sure. So his touch judge wasn't sure what had happened when Bradman Best had pushed the winger in the back. So he went to the bunker. The guy in the bunker looked like he wanted an early mark and wanted to knock off, because he had a quick look at, you know, and then took no further action. But every day of the week and all season, that is a professional foul, a sin bin, and the penalty. And you know what? This is the second time. I feel sorry for Manly fans. So I think back to round four and the controversy over the turbo forward pass against Parramatta. Here's another, you know, 2 points. I'm not saying they were going to win yesterday, and I'm not saying they deserved to win, but they deserved the shot at goal for the right to go into Golden Point.
Yeah, and I think you're right. What type of penalty is Fanua Blake looking at? The language that he used is obviously unacceptable.
Yeah. Look, I like the fact he apologised from the heart last night. I like the fact that he sought permission straight after the game to approach the referee and apologise face-to-face, eyeball to eyeball. I would think, though, Laurie, he would probably be entitled to face a couple of weeks on the sideline, because we have to show people this is totally unacceptable behaviour to treat referees or confront them in that manner. It's just not on. And it's a blow for Manly, but it's a warning to every other player in the comp that referees are out of bounds in this sort of area. Would you agree with 2 weeks?
I said earlier this morning, I thought there'd be a fine and a 1 to 2 week penalty.
Yeah, look, I think that's right. But at the same time, Jared Maxwell, he needs to get a 2 week penalty as well. I hope they drop him.
Well, I don't think they'd have any other choice, Buzz, because I think that was quite clear.
Untouchable, Laurie. In previous, you know, he's survived these sort of things before. If the NRL are fair dinkum, he should get as long as Fanua Blake. Because it was a really, really bad blunder. You can understand, guys, that on-field referees and touch judges are going to make
get it right,
because the game's played at a million miles an hour. It is so intense. There are no stoppages this year. But when someone's sitting in a room the size of the bunker and he's got 10 screens and he can slow-mo it, he can fast-forward, he can rewind it, as many times, as much time as he wants, and he misses that, it's unacceptable.
Yeah,
totally unacceptable.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And when I saw it yesterday, I thought, oh, geez, we're going to extra time. Well, possibility of going into extra time, because this will be a penalty to Manly and Garrick will have the shot to even the game up. But when they called full time, I was stunned. Mm. I was stunned. And then that doesn't make what Fanua Blake did okay, by the way. But I think everyone, I reckon if you asked the Newcastle players, they would have been standing there thinking, oh, geez, they're going to get a penalty here. And they would have been stunned at the end. And then the Manly players and Fanua Blake giving the referee a gobful wasn't the right thing to do, but I could understand their frustration.
Is it the fact that he's abused the referee, or is it the choice of words that he's used?
No, I think well, it could be both. Mm. You could interpret that both ways, but I think number one is the choice of word, and then number two, the way that he's aggressively said it.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine if you said that on a cricket field or to an umpire or any other, you know, sport. You just can't do it.
No. No.
You know, and I've done stories on this in the past, that the number of referees in the juniors are shrinking. You know, what kid want to, you know, going to go and referee eights and nines and 10-year-olds when footy resumes, you know, when they're seeing the officials in the... And, you know, it's true that... It's not a good example to be setting, and that's why it needs to be rubbed out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Now, Buzz, tell us what's happening at the Bulldogs.
Oh, look, it's a really unfortunate story because they've had so much off-field drama in recent years in the boardroom, and Ray Dibb was thrown out, I think it was 2018 February, a long-term chairman, and Lynn Anderson was swept into power with a new board and former players like Steve Price and Paul Dunn and Chris Anderson came in, but the members there are getting anxious and they want some decisions made. And there's a feeling out there that these decisions aren't being made. You know, there's a big one to be made on Dean Pay because they've got to start recruiting for next year. So members are trying to, you know, gather numbers. There's a big player in the background who was actually responsible in lobbying members to get rid of Ray Dibb, and he's now turned on the current board. So the last thing they need when they're sponsorless, they're at the bottom of the table with only one win. They don't really have a home ground. I guess they'll go back to ANZ Stadium now, but the NRL and the TV networks don't want to play there. They've got a $3 million war chest and they can't sign a player. John Bateman's knocked them back. And there's drama at the board level. You know, it's a real concern for the club. The football club lost a couple of million dollars last year. The leagues club that bails them out every year lost $4 million. That's unheard of from a place that used to print money, make $20 million profits a year. Well, they do have a $100 million property asset at Liverpool, but they owe $45, $50 million, the club does. So it's not going to last them long when they're sponsorless and not winning games and can't attract crowds. And so they've got big problems there. And my mail is that Lynn Anderson will have little choice but to stand down this week or face an extraordinary general meeting and a vote of no confidence.
Wow, that is big news. What about Dean Pay, the likelihood of him surviving?
I think it's getting more likely every week, Laurie, and I think particularly now there's pressure from on the board to do something about it, that there'll be a decision made sooner rather than later. I think they are going to have to fast-track it. And there's one thing about Lynn Anderson. I admire her loyalty to a former player and a bit of a front-row legend there, Dino. And she and the rest of the board wanted to give him every single hope because they know his roster... He's not as good as other clubs. They're playing with heart every week, as we saw yesterday. But they were hoping, you know, to give him for the rest of the season. But that decision needs to be fast-tracked. And I think we'll know in the next fortnight what's going to happen with Dino.
Well, when I watch the Bulldogs play, I see a team that's having a go. You know, they're committed. They're not as talented, but I see them having a go and trying to reach their maximum potential. On the other side of the border, the Broncos, have they hit rock bottom yet? Because I look at their team and I still think, well, they could fall further down the ladder because I don't know whether they've hit rock bottom yet.
Yeah, mate, you don't normally get the game of the round at 5:30 on a Saturday afternoon, but this Broncos-Bulldogs match this coming weekend is a monster game, probably for both clubs with pressure now on the Bulldogs. But the Broncos and the demands on them, the expectations on them. I thought that was really, really sad to see those players in tears, you know, when they left the field the other day. And to me, it's becoming a mental well-being, a mental welfare sort of situation. And the media coverage and the ex-players that have turned on them. And look, I'm one of the, as you know, I'm a harsh critic of a lot of things in rugby league, but oh, my goodness, they've copped a rough time in the press. And what the tears did show me, mate, they were hurting. And, you know, that jersey still does mean something to them. And my view is, Laurie, that they've lost a lot of sort of intimidation in the forwards. There's no one there who can hurt opponents. And, you know, their pack's not aiming up. And when you get situations like that, they're on the back foot and the halves are struggling. As a result of halves struggling, the outside backs struggle, and they're just a mess at the moment. And, you know, they're sticking by Anthony Seibold, though. And but if they get beaten by Canterbury, I surely can't survive that.
So what do they do, Buzz, in your opinion? There's already been a lot of talk about bringing in a new assistant coach. Is that going to make any difference?
Look, I favoured the idea they had this time last week of bringing someone like Stephen Carney in, who, for all his shortcomings, probably as a tactical sort of technician type of coach, he is a fantastic man manager, and he's, you know, especially with the Polynesian boys, he's just a really good fella to have around the football club. And he's such a good man, he'd be no threat whatsoever to Anthony Seibold. And I think a lot of these boys at the Broncos need a shoulder to lean on. And I think he'd be a great choice. But, you know, is that going to help them win football games? I think it's going to make them more stable, happier. But as I said, technically, it's not going to fix their problems. I really think their big issue is in the forwards. And look, if you take David Fifita and Katoni Staggs out of any football side, it's a massive loss. It's probably their two best players. Would that be correct? With Payne Haas.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping those boys can come back. This competition needs the Broncos, you know.
Mm. Oh, we do. If I'm in charge of the Broncos and Anthony Seibold is safe, I'm bringing in Tim Shoens. I'm just bringing in, as a director of football, overseeing the coaching, overseeing the player roster, because I know what type of person he is, and I know he lives and breathes football, and he would make a massive difference to that club. He's an experienced mentor for Seibold. He's been through all this stuff before. He knows how to handle it. He doesn't get flustered. And he'll keep the playing group and he'd keep Seibold on track.
You're an ideas man, Laurie. I like that one.
Yeah, no, I've been thinking about it and I just know how much he loves the game and what he can do to an organisation. And I think as that director of football, Seibold would have someone that he could trust. Sheensy would be there to support him. He wouldn't be knifing him. And I reckon that'd be a good fit.
I think that's a really good idea because I think one of the problems the Broncos have is that their chairman, Carl Morris, will be the first to tell you he's a businessman and he's not a footy head. And I was critical over the weekend of their chief executive, Paul White, who finishes up this year. And he's been making noises in Sydney over the phone or down here in person, trying to get his next job at the NRL as their club liaison director. They're going to make an appointment. And there's people like Jim Doyle looking for that job as well. So I don't know what Anthony Seibold's got, you know, who he has got to turn to. And, yeah, Tim Sheens isn't a bad idea at all.
Now, just at Redfern, Alex Johnston, fair to say that South fans haven't been too happy with him being let go from next year, Buzz?
Well, he scored 7 tries in 8 games or 9 games this year, hasn't he? And the guy who's forced him out of the club, James Roberts, was hooked yesterday. He scored 1 try in 15 games. And no wonder there's an online petition to keep Alex Johnston there. I know what I'd want out of the pair. And look, I know James Roberts has had, you know, well-being mental health issues too, and I feel terribly sorry for him. I hope he can turn his life around. But that signing last year of him on $500,000 has forced Johnston out of the club. You can't do that. You've got to keep your best players on your roster. There'll be a queue for Alex. I spoke to his manager last night. He's a very, very good football player. In fact, imagine him at Manly covering for Turbo or something. You know, he can play wing, he can play. Imagine him at Canberra, any club. You know, and I think it's wrong what South are doing to him. He's a local junior. Been there all his life. It's wrong.
Now, Buzz, before you go, we've had quite a few people trying to shuffle your Big Sports Breakfast calendar.
Oh, right. I am going to shuffle it myself.
Oh, really? Right.
You
what
know
do you
why?
Got?
Because that Danny December is just too powerful.
Danny December.
Danny December I understand impersonated my voice. I didn't hear it because I slept in again last Tuesday. But I'm actually, look, he's got his newspaper column. He's on Channel 9 every night. He's got a radio gig on another station. Yeah. So I'm going to promote him to April. I want him to drop off. And Laurie, the bad news is you're going back a month and everyone's slipping back. So
I'm happy to go back a month. I'm happy to go back a month. So that means Bulldog goes to December.
Yeah, dogs. Yeah,
that's where he should have been in the first place.
You reckon?
Oh, well, Buzz, behind his back, you give it to him.
Yeah, I do. But I hope Danny's listening and he comes on tomorrow and just talks footy and not.
You know what? I like the name Denny December. It's got a ring to it. That's his new nickname, Denny December.
Danny April sounds just as good. Danny April.
Good on you, mate. Right. We'll talk next week.
See you guys. Come up.